Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Lakers forward Jared Dudley released a book titled Inside the NBA Bubble, a championship season under quarantine. And in the book, he said it was disrespectful for someone like Paul George to talk trash when he hasn't won anything. And it was disrespectful for PG to put himself on LeBron and AD's level. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, is Dudley's criticism of Paul George in bounds or out of bounds here?
I think it was inbounds because he kept it inbounds. He kept it in, on the court. If he had talked about his family or his lifestyle or something like that, that would have been out of bounds. So I was fine with that. Other people might say, well, who is Jared Dudley, a career role-playing journeyman, to be critical of a perennial all-star like Paul George? Here's the thing. Remember, Jared said, We, the Lakers, thought it was disrespectful. So LeBron, AD, maybe Rajon Rondo and the rest of the team, they felt that way. If Dudley had said it himself, oh, I thought it was disrespectful, then I think it would have been fair to criticize him because obviously Paul George is light years ahead of Jared Dudley. So I think it was in bounds. But here is the crux of the matter. To me, what this ultimately says is that the Lakers have a serious lack of respect for Paul George. Because they talked about billboards they saw in L.A. and we saw the commercials and about the Clippers being the kings of L.A. and it's their town. That was Kawhi. That was more Kawhi than anybody. Then they gave Patrick Beverley a pass. But Beverley was the one that told Steph Curry the next 5 years belong to us. And everybody, including the Lakers, heard that. Beverly was the one that after he blocked LeBron's shot in a game at the end of the regular season or in the regular season that pumped his fist and had all the histrionics. You can't say just because that's who he is, you let it go. There was no reason to single out Paul George as the one. Because here's the thing. Before last year's finals or before it ended, Paul George was on Anthony Davis's level. He wasn't on LeBron's, but he was on AD's. Now, we can say AD is a better player than Paul George, but Paul George is a perennial all-star. He actually had more playoff success by far than AD. He led a team to the Eastern Conference Finals twice. He challenged the big three in Miami, took them to seven games when his next best player was like Roy Hibbert. So he had done way more than AD in the playoffs up until the end of the finals. So the only reason to single out Paul George is that you went after the guy you don't respect. You went after the easy mark. And the only way that Paul George is going to shake that reputation is not by having a great regular season, which he's having. It is by having a great run in the playoffs en route to winning a championship.
But Jared Dudley voiced that, and he said that. But there's a lot of players around the league. You see how they're coming at Paul George? Because Paul George views himself right as a tier one player. And I look at tier one players. You've won a championship. You won a regular season MVP. You won a finals season, a finals MVP. Or you're a player of the year. One of those awards. So you look at Kawhi. You look at Steph, KD, LeBron, and Giannis. That's it.
Paul George carries himself. You heard what Devin Booker say, man, sit yourself you-know-what down. Seth Curry went at him in the bubble. Now, that was for maybe for a lot of different reasons. But Jared Dudley is not the only one that sees Paul George, sees himself as a tier one player. And he's like, hold on, bro, wait a minute. All I know is that, yes, but he had only won one playoff series since 2014. And that was last year when they beat the Dallas Mavericks. Everybody saw you finished third in the MVP voting. Russ asked what you had in Utah. He's like, I got a strong spade hand. I got five on it and gave him 5 points. Russ dropped 45. So we've seen him come up small in the playoffs. He gave himself the name Playoff P. So I don't care if he averages 40 in the regular season. He better average 42 come playoff time because that's the only way this is going to go away. I get it. You write a book, Skip. You wrote the book up a year ago. It comes out, and now you're bringing up old stuff that you said last year, and it seems like you just said it yesterday. I get it. We're going to leave. Hey, I like Paul. I love PG's game. Smooth, can shoot the three, take you off the bounce, get to the mid-range, can finish at the rim, shoot good free throws. But, bruh, you brought this on yourself. You got up there at your introductory press conference and say, playoff P is here. Nah, bro, ain't no more of that stuff. Okay, make it all go away.
Okay, my turn. I know Jared Dudley pretty well. I like the heck out of Jared Dudley. He's really a good man with a big heart. But in the end, you have to sit back and say, who the heck is Jared Dudley to be writing a book and taking on Paul George? As many failures as Paul George has suffered through playoff games, and I've called him George Paul a lot of times on this show because he's not an alpha. He's not a takeover guy. He is a complimentary star. But he is a star, and as Chris points out, six-time All-Star, four times All-Defense. He's got big game. He's got top 10 in this league talent. Yeah. I don't know if he always lives up to it, but he's got top 10 talent. So here's Jared Dudley writing a 42-page book after he played a grand total of 31 minutes in...
You keep calling it a book, though, Skip. It's more like Cliff Notes.
I don't know what it is, but whatever. I'll give it to him. It's a quote-unquote book. It is like Cliff Notes, but he played 31 minutes in the whole playoff run last year in the bubble, and it was all in mop-up of the mop-up duty. He comes after the janitor.
You're looking at that Skip beating the man up. He talking about Jared Dudley. Now you talking about...
Okay, but my favorite line was from Ty Lue before the game last night, and he said, a book? Jared Dudley? Well, that was my reaction. A book from Jared Dudley? Yeah. Really, and remember when he called out Ben Simmons, or at least he criticized Ben Simmons, yeah. And Ben Simmons was asked about the quotes. Can we see that real quick? Because it's a funny reaction from Ben Simmons.
Jared Dudley comments about you yesterday. He says that you're a great player in the open court. What do you think?
It's coming from Jared Dudley.
It's coming from Jared Dudley. Come on. Okay, so I'm not going to kill the messenger, but I'm going to discount the messenger to the point I'm going to dismiss the messenger. I get it. Chris says he's speaking for the team. I don't know if the team will love him speaking for it, but I'm sure that was the prevailing sentiment.
LeBron, AD.
Don't include me in this.
We ain't say that like that. We got the utmost respect for PG.
They will not. Yeah, they won't say it.
Okay, I got it. But... I do love that he wrote this, and it was, I think, in diary form, so it's like he's writing it on the fly, right. And then they're going to pull it together
every day,
and publish
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, if you haven't noticed, they're on a new mission this year. And Paul announced his re-arrival in game number one against the Lakers because he took it over in the second half, scored 26 just in the second half alone, and made four or five threes. I believe that he got his button pushed before the game last night, and I know it was just Cleveland, but it was back-to-back after what I thought was a finals preview game, a big, tough struggle of a game for the Clippers on the road at Brooklyn, and then they had to go to Cleveland against a very game, tough-minded young Cleveland team that will not quit, and they all played. Kawhi played. Paul George played, and Paul George hit 8 out of 9 threes. That was extraordinary, and I think it was in retaliation and reaction to what Jared Dudley had said about him.
Hey, Chris, if you don't mind me asking, so what am I supposed to do about playoff P? Last year in Game 7, after they being up 3-1, he went 4-16 on the Game 7 against the Nuggets last year. Okay, in elimination game, Game 6 against Utah in 2018, he was 2-16. That's when he put that strong spade hand on that 5 points on it. In elimination game, Game 4, they were swept against Cleveland. He went 5-21. So what am I supposed to do about that, Skip?
All right.
That's playoff P.
What am I supposed to do about the fact that Paul George said in the bubble, it got to me. I needed counseling.
Okay.
I was depressed.
Okay.
I went into my shell. Okay. I give him that because I think a lot of guys were going into their shell in the bubble, right?
Not my guy.
Okay. Well, not your guy. And I give him that. He was the one guy that rose above the bubble and said, I got to keep my team together. What was another Jared Dudley quote on a podcast? I think it was on maybe Danny Green's podcast a couple, 3 weeks ago. He said, those boys did not want to be in that bubble talking about the Clippers. Well, they didn't.
Yeah.
Half the Clippers were coming and going and in quarantine. It was terrible. They didn't want to be there, and they were looking forward to playing the Lakers, and they overlooked the Nuggets to their detriment.
Skip, I'd like to add this to it, and you brought this up, Skip, in the bubble or, you know, during the bubble after Paul George made those comments about being depressed and struggling mentally. And look, I think all of the players, the Lakers, the players throughout the league, I think they respect guys stepping up and talking about mental health. And, you know, we've seen players now be more open about it. I think they all applaud that. However, you brought this up, Skip, and I think you were right. On the court, if they sense that that is a weakness in you, they're going to go with that. And I think that's a part of this.
Okay.
It is do or die. It is. Dog eat dog.
I got it.
When we're going for a championship.
Right.
And if they think that Paul George is mentally weak or something like that, they're going to go at him. I've talked to executives around the league who've, again, while you applaud the players speaking about mental health, who've pointed out, well, yeah, can you count on this guy? Can you, he remember we talked about this. And they take it as a sign of mental weakness because we all know how tough it is, how you have to be as mentally tough as you are physically tough to really win at the highest level. And I think that's a part of this, too.
That's why Kawhi playing back-to-back. He knows what's at stake.
He does.
Kawhi playing back-to-back. Ain't played back-to-back since 2015.
Chris, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and we'll check in very soon.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
20 years as a New England Patriot. What a ride it's been for Tom Brady.
Patriots have won. Unbelievable.
For the third time in the last 4 years, the Patriots celebrate winning the Lombardi Trophy.
The New England Patriots are the NFL champions.
Brady has his fifth. What a comeback. Six titles.
Enjoy it, folks. You're never, ever going to see it again.
Not in our lifetime.
hearing Joe Buck's voice there getting excited. Tom Brady has reached his 10th Super Bowl, and it might be his most impressive yet. Not only is Brady 43 years old, it's also his first year on a new team with a new head coach and a new offense. It's also the first time Brady has ever played three road games to reach the Super Bowl as a wild card team. He just keeps doing it. Shannon, if Brady pulls this off, will it be his toughest and greatest championship run?
No, I still believe the first one was the toughest because he was much younger. Skip, and he's in a different situation. He beat the three seed. His first game, he opened with the three seed, which was the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders at the time.
I was there.
He beat them. And then he had to go beat a 13-3 seed Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. And then he had to beat what they thought was invincible, the greatest show on turf at a neutral site. So, Skip, I believe that was the greatest because I believe in this situation, with the fans, there were 4,000 fans in the Superdome. There were 8,000 fans in at Lambeau Field. And what it took away is what Aaron Rodgers and what the Dome was hoping for, the frenzy. We get a lot of false starts. Skip, they got one penalty. They got one pre-snap penalty. I don't think they had any at Green Bay. I don't think they had any against Washington. Mm. And so for me, Skip, I'm still going to say the first one was his greatest run because, again, they were 14-point underdogs. They were only... They were favored against Washington. Maybe they were a slight underdog. They were underdogs the last two, 3-point underdogs. But I still believe the first Super Bowl, Skip, I believe that was his greatest run, not this one.
I do not. I remind you, they should have lost the Tuck Rule game. And then I remind you, Brady hurt his ankle in the second half at Pittsburgh, and Drew Bledsoe had to come back from his injury to save the day at Pittsburgh. And then most people give Belichick more credit for the greatest show on turf game because that was a defensive masterpiece by Belichick. Right. I always give you that one.
Yes.
After that, I'm not so sure about Belichick's defense from there on. But, Shannon, if you really sit back, and again, we're presuming that he would pull this off against your guy, Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. If he does pull that off, then on degree of difficulty, I think this is the greatest postseason run in the history of sports. Given where you started from, because he took a team that was 7-9, there was pandemic, there was quarantine, there was no real offseason, there was zero preseason games. You get thrown into the fire in game one against your arch rival at New Orleans. You don't get a bye week until week 13 after the heart of your schedule in which you got to deal with New Orleans at home when you got annihilated and humiliated, the Rams, and obviously the Chiefs at home, and you lost all three games. And you flip the script and the switch coming out of the bye week, and you take off. And as I keep saying, he did bring that team to a boil, but then they're forced to go on the road. I got you, no fans, but it's still against, think about this, the number two ranked defense in Washington, then the number four ranked defense and your arch rival nemesis at Drew Brees, and then the number nine ranked defense, Green Bay's, at Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers. Well, if he pulls it off against Mahomes, well, look at what you just did. You went through Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. When all is said and done and the smoke clears on all their careers, will those three be in the top 10 all time?
Yeah, probably
right?
So.
They will, all three of those guys. I mean, the way you talk about Mahomes, he may wind up at number one all time.
Well, Skip, I would agree with you had Brady not been where he is currently. Brady did what he did in 2001, Skip, and he was just a little young pup.
Okay.
And you look at it, Skip, you keep talking about... Yeah, the Tampa was the number six seed out of seven spots, but they were one of the preseason betting favorites to get to and win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So the Vegas... This year. Okay,
well, they weren't up high. I think they were like sixth or seventh,
yes.
Right? Okay,
yeah, but the 32 teams.
Okay, but they're up against the number one team,
right?
Yeah, the betting favorite, the defending champ.
But a lot of people had Tampa. They bet. That's why Vegas set them. Vegas didn't set them 15-1. They didn't set them 50-1. Mm-hmm. They set them at the sixth or seventh best odds to reach the Super Bowl. They thought enough of Tom Brady and looking at that nucleus of what he was going to.
Okay, but even you said, and you know this game. You've seen this happen. You've been in three Super Bowls and won all three of them. It's hard to do it the first time around.
Yeah.
You always said from the start, maybe in year two you got a shot.
I thought it was year two. But, Skip, it's kind of like the Ravens. I mean, it was the first year. We got there and it just, boom. We got hot.
Okay, but the defense was absolutely loaded with all-time starting with your man, Ray Lewis, in the middle of that defense.
Rod.
And it was, it was arguably, it's up there. It's an all-time top five defense.
I just think the thing is, Skip, when you look at, because you got to understand now what Kurt Warner was. He was a two-time Super Bowl. He was a two-time league MVP, a Super Bowl MVP. Marshall Faulk was on that team. He was two-time Offensive Player of the Year and an MVP.
Okay, I got it, which is why they were 14-point underdogs.
Yes.
And I know going into that game, I gave Brady and company no shot.
Right.
I thought it was a complete and utter mismatch.
But you're at least giving them a shot in this game, correct? You gave them no shot in that game.
I gave them no shot. Well, sure, I give them a shot, but I gave them a shot at Breeze and at Rodgers,
right,
just because of the quarterback,
right,
and his leadership, his all-time great,
right,
leadership in trying to transform them by, as I keep telling you, he installed the Patriot way in Tampa Bay.
Right.
And he taught them how to be professionals and how to win big games, especially on the road. So in the end, what he's up against, look, he's never going to get the credit because people are tired of him. They're tired of Brady, like, I had enough of him in New England, now he's in Tampa.
But see, the thing is that when he wins, he gets all the credit. But you give all the blame to Coach Belichick when he lost. You said his sorry defense, his sorry this. You see?
It cost him the first Eli Super Bowl because he did his part.
Okay, well, Skip.
He got him in position.
So what game did Brady play that cost Coach Belichick a Super Bowl?
In the Super Bowl, yeah.
What game? You make it seem like he played great every Super Bowl. He threw for 300 and he was clean.
Well, he was pretty great in every one of them except for the Wes Welker play. And you said yesterday that Wes Welker should have caught the ball.
So what about that 80-yard pick six that he threw against Atlanta?
Okay, but he dug him right out of the hole. He threw for 246 in the fourth quarter.
He put him in the hole, Skip.
Okay, but he dug him out.
Skip.
With the all-time great fourth quarter in overtime.
Skip.
No one's ever done that
Skip.
In the Super Bowl.
You waterboarded me, and then you asked me, are you okay? You pulled my head out of the water. You doing this to me. You pouring the water up my nose. You can't ask me if I'm okay if you doing it.
Are you saying Tom Brady waterboarded his team?
He was doing it.
Okay.
He put him in this hole. Skip, the 28.
How many times have you seen him dig them out of all kinds of holes?
Skip, all I'm saying is, this is what I'm saying, is that I think a lot of people are resentful of Tom, is that when he wins, he gets all of the credit. Nobody mentions anything else. But when he loses, you place blame on the defense. You talk about the Wes Welker drop. You talk about the miss this. But nobody gets credit. All you mention is Tom Brady against the Legion of Boom. Ain't one time have you mentioned Malcolm Butler in that play.
I thought I mentioned him.
You talk about. He lost the game. He hit to Gronk right in the hands. If Gronk lost it.
Well, I didn't say he lost the game, but he should have caught that.
So what about the fumble? Should Brady have held onto the ball?
Well, again, you're desperate because your defense has given up 41 to Nick
Foles. Okay, what about
that
drop?
He tried to make a late, desperate play and held the ball too long and got stripped.
What about that pass he dropped that Hugh would have
Do you think that changed the game?
Really? Did he drop the ball?
Well, it was a hard catch. I'm not even sure Shannon Sharp could have made
Nick
that
Foles
catch.
Nick Foles caught his.
Yeah. Well, it was a better throw. It went straight over his head.
Right over his head.
You always tell me straight over your head is hard to catch.
That's Tom Brady.
Right?
He the GOAT.
Okay.
You told me to go.
But in his Super Bowl matchups and clashes, he hasn't faced high level. Russell Wilson was pretty good. Kurt Warner's good, but he's a top 20 quarterback. But when you go Breeze, Rodgers, Mahomes,
yeah,
you don't think that's all time? And again, I don't know if he'll pull it off.
I think Drew Brees had an all-time run when he beat Kurt Warner, he beat Brett Favre, and he beat Peyton in the Super Bowl.
Okay,
that was a pretty historic run.
No, but to hear you talk when we're talking about Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, those are your two pedestal quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
And he has a chance to beat both of them back to back in a championship game in a Super Bowl.
So if he
that would do
so,
it.
So if he loses, is this his biggest disappointment?
No, he's 43.
Why not? See? Oh, you see what you did? You won it both ways. It's a historic win if he wins, but if he loses, all night, he's 43.
Well, he got this far by beating Breeze and Rodgers.
Well, damn,
how great is that?
So he just turned 43 in the Super Bowl, so he's been 33 this whole while.
It's a whole different discussion. We need a lot more time if we're going to go there.
No mercy.
The Nets have won 5 of their last 6 games, and chemistry might be at an all-time high right now. Kevin Durant even praised James Harden for the one thing he's really not known for, his defense. Katie said Harden is a, quote, all-around defender, and it's an underrated part of his game. So, Shannon, does Katie have a point here?
No. We've seen James Harden in the past 8 years at Houston. I'm going to disregard James Harden in OKC because he wasn't the beard. He wasn't what we know him to be now. I'm talking about in Houston. So Kevin Durant wants me to unsee what I've seen over the last 8 years when he was in Houston. So am I supposed to believe KD or my lying eyes? So I asked him to pull a little tape. Now, you tell me if James Harden is playing defense. Hopefully, the people at home can see that. Mm. Now, that's great defense right there. That's all I did for. That's James Harden. I mean, he's really going. I mean, he, woo! Mm. Boy, he did him. Ah! Mm. Watch James Harden. This is just James Harden now. Now, you, this, I won't.
Oh, no.
Boy, woo! Mm. Boy, that look like Elijah Warren. Mm. That's all Kobe Bryant there. Now, this James Harden on defense. That's James Harden on defense. Now, he really played his tail off. Mm-hmm. That's lights out D. Mm. Man, stop this. Okay, Skip, I get it. We normally, what happens is your great offensive players, so they don't tire themselves out. They don't line up on the other team, great offensive player. Occasionally, we saw that. Kobe would take it upon the challenge. If it was a two or a point guard, Kobe would take that challenge on. A lot of times, but you remember, Skip, in 2001, when it was Iverson, they put T. Lou on Iverson because they didn't want Kobe to tire himself out. Jordan sometimes would take that challenge. But for the most part, Skip, if you're a great offensive player, they don't want you tiring yourself out on defense.
Yep.
But Kevin Durant wants to take a few plays and say James Harden is an underrated defensive player? Come on, KD, bro. I understand you want to hype your
Shannon Sharp, I'm sorry. You were dead wrong on this one. I've been telling you all year he is underrated on defense.
So what was
and now
that?
Kevin Durant.
So what was that?
It's bad old days in Houston.
What am I supposed to base it on?
When he feels like... Watch this year. Start watching these games. Watch what he did to Kawhi Leonard the other night, because three times Kawhi Leonard... We don't have to talk because we're running out of show, but three times Kawhi tried to drive on him, and he is so strong in the lane. That's what Kevin brought up. He said when he's playing post defense using his strength, he stopped Kawhi cold three times.
Last year
at Houston, last year with Russell, he was top five in steals, top five in deflections, top five in loose balls. Do those count as defensive category? You better believe they
do.
He has genius on offense and genius on defense. Nash is raving about his defense because he is special on the defensive end because he can see it and feel it before you execute.
One thing. How many times have you heard somebody, boy, James Harden did a number stopping Steph Curry. Well, he did a number stopping Dame Lillard.
He's never been in this position before, as Steve Nash keeps raving. He is willing to sacrifice for us. He's playing point guard, and he plays defense when it's time against Milwaukee or against the Clippers.
And look, if you don't mind me asking, why didn't Giannis Antetokounmpo take him? Mm-hmm. What did Giannis say? Since KD said what he said, what did Giannis say last year's All-Star game? What did he say,
Kevin? Kevin knows what happened in Oklahoma City. When he came off the bench one night, he took Kobe for much of the second half. He was making it hard on Kobe Bryant.
James, when he feels like it, can really lock you down. What did Giannis say?
I don't really care. What has Giannis ever accomplished?
Now you only care what he's a two-time, he's a back-to-back MVP.
And what's he done in the playoffs? Help me out.
So now,
I've seen two big disappearing acts.
You were just hyping Paul George. What has Paul George done in the playoffs?
Did I say he's ever done anything?
A two-time MVP.
He's actually accomplished more than Giannis has in the playoffs.
Back-to-back MVPs. Mm-hmm. How many back-to-back MVPs have there been?
Stop it. He comes up smaller than I am in the playoffs. I know it.
Skip, James, look here. For the last 8 years.
James Harden's going to make you eat your words. Just watch.
It's on his resume. Eight years of bad defense is on his resume. And you want to just wipe it away after two games?
I've been watching.
And three possessions. Yep. Two games, three possessions.
He
wipes away 8 years.
Underrated on defense, said Kevin Durant. I'm not going to quibble with Kevin Durant. I think he knows what's going on because he's only the best player on the planet.
But nobody else knows what's going on. So how many other guys? How many all-defensive teams has James Harden made?
Well, let's see what happens this year.
How much you want to bet?
Top five in all those stats last year.
Mean to tell me a guy that leads the league and still can't make all-defensive first, second, or third team?
Well, we'll see. A lot of that's reputation.
No, not reputation.
Yeah.
Everything is reputation as long as your guy doesn't accomplish it. But when your guy accomplishes something, it's not reputation. Man, stop this, Skip.
I'm going to start it. I started it. I've been saying this all year on this show, and you won't listen. And now Kevin Durant's saying exactly what I said. Who knew?
But Giannis, another guy said that he isn't.
Who cares what Giannis
says? Who cares what Kevin Durant says?
You're the one rips Giannis on this show right and left.
Skip. You can rip him all you want to, but he's a two-time back-to-back MVP. So he doesn't know basketball. So Giannis doesn't know basketball. Only Kevin Durant knows basketball.
All I know is the best team in the East right now is nothing but Nets.
We're going to need more time for this one.
They got the best record in the East.
James Harden and his defense.
Do they got the best record?
The tape doesn't lie, Shannon. I hear
Thank you
pulling that. I know you got to work there. We will get to this again.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.